Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
This morning we talk with Bill Lewis of Northshire Bookstore in Manchester Center, Vermont, for our book list. And he's traveled the literary globe to collect these tomes. After spending lots of time of reading of dozens of books and studying up, Bill joins us this morning with a wonderful and very thought-provoking list of history books, which is his specialty. And Bill, it's always a pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you very much for being here.
Good to hear from you, Joe.
Always good to have you on the program. Where would you like to begin?
Well, I've chosen five books that may or may not be on the mainstream of a lot of book readers, but they're books that have impressed me over the last couple of months. The first book I'll mention is called Sugar in the Blood, A Family Story of Slavery and Empire. The author is Andrea Stewart, and it, in essence, is a beautifully written, pitch-perfect introduction to the story of English colonization in the Caribbean sugar islands. For several centuries, those tiny islands that most of us can't keep straight when we look at a map produced an immense amount of wealth, while simultaneously destroying African lives in numbers and ways that beggar description. This is a book that should encourage further study of what I think is a critically important time and place in the history of our own Western Hemisphere. The number of African people that were brought to this very small geographic area and the treatment that they endured is beyond description. If you think of slavery and the Western Hemisphere, and you think of the worst conditions on Southern American cotton plantations, believe me, the sugar industry in the Caribbean dwarfs it in terms of the severity of the regime. Stewart is a descendant of both a slave and a plantation owner on the tiny island of Barbados. She is a beautiful writer, and her story is so accurate, it's so carefully put together, and she takes you through generations of both sides of the family. And for people who don't know a lot about this very important subject, this is what I think is a perfect introduction. It's called Sugar in the Blood.
It is indeed Sugar in the Blood, A Family Story of Slavery and Empire by Andrea Stewart. Next.
The next book, Joe, is called More Than Freedom, Fighting for Black Citizenship in a White Republic, 1829 to 1889. Over the past week, we certainly have been thinking a lot about the New England city of Boston. And this book takes place in Boston in the 19th century. At the beginning of the 19th century, there were a substantial number of free black people living in Boston. And you probably might imagine that they were, of course, concerned with doing everything they possibly could to bring slavery to an end. That almost goes without saying. What this book does is incorporate the other goals of this free African American population in what was considered to be the most radically liberal northern city at the time. These people were equally concerned with issues that I think we associate with the civil rights movement of the 20th century. Equal access to jobs, equal pay, equal access to real estate, being accepted in public transportation, restaurants, the integration of schools, all the things that we associate with the mid-20th century civil rights movement were at the forefront of what was taking place in Boston. If you go to Boston today, and you're in downtown, you invariably encounter the Freedom Trail. And it's a 2.5 mile walk, it takes several hours, and it's well worth doing. What most of us have failed to do in our Boston visits is to take the Black Heritage Trail, which is a much shorter walk through downtown Boston. After reading More Than Freedom by Stephen Kantrowitz, I think anyone who goes to Boston will take the time to walk the Black Heritage Trail. It's a story that involves people we may have heard of, obviously Frederick Douglass, Charles Sumner, Thomas Wentworth Higginson, but it introduces a cast of characters that are just purely unforgettable. And I think it helps us better understand the struggle for racial equality well before the age of automobiles and television. It's a brilliant book, More Than Freedom.
More Than Freedom, Fighting for Black Citizenship in a White Republic, 1829 to 1889.
Next, Joe, is a book by Catherine A. Brekus. It's called Sarah Osborne's World, The Rise of Evangelical Christianity in Early America. With the possible exception of South Korea, without question, the most evangelical country in the world, and it's been that way for over 100 years, is the United States of America. What a lot of Americans don't understand is that evangelicalism began in America nearly 200 years ago, back at the beginning of the 18th century. Sarah Osborne is a rather unremarkable woman in many ways, who was born in 1712, Newport, Rhode Island. She wasn't wealthy. Her life was anything but easy. And yet, when she was in her 20s, she was affected by the evangelical preaching of people like Jonathan Edwards and a famous British evangelical by the name of George Whitefield. Sarah spent the rest of her life keeping a journal and diary about her spiritual journey. Now, if this sounds a bit obtuse, perhaps not terribly compelling, let me assure your listeners that it is anything but. Sarah lived until 1786. She lived through an incredible period of change in North America. And her journey parallels what was happening on this continent, the rise of imported goods and commercialization of the country, the sense that Americans were different than Englishmen in the mother country that was so pervasive at the end of the French and Indian War. She lives through the Revolutionary period, and she lives into the period when there was beginning to be an American movement in opposition to slavery. Her story is remarkable. The way Brekus ties it to the larger changes taking place in the country during the century is also remarkable. It's just an astonishing and very well written book.
Sarah Osborne's World, The Rise of Evangelical Christianity in Early America by Catherine Brekus. Next up.
Well, Joe, you might be happy to know that I'd like to move forward in time with the next book.
There we go.
If you're of a certain age, and I know you're a very young fellow, Joe, so may not strike you, but if you're my age and you hear the word Vietnam, the smile goes off your face. It's almost as if a weight descends upon your shoulder. We think of Vietnam, if you're of a certain age, as the war we remember from the Lyndon Johnson, Richard Nixon years, and it's not a happy story. what most of us, and I'm speaking about people of a certain age one more time, what most of us don't properly understand is the history of Vietnam prior to the 1960s. This book that I'm discussing is called Embers of War, The Fall of an Empire and the Making of America's Vietnam by Cornell history professor Frederick Loegeval. Last week, it received the Pulitzer Prize in History, something that I'm very proud to say we were predicting at the North Shire for several months. And it tells the story of Vietnamese attempts to throw off French colonial control from the beginning of the 20th century through World War II. And the book stops in the late 1950s, in 1959, when the very first two American soldiers were killed. Those two fellows are the first two, and I apologize for not remembering their names, but they are the first two names on the Vietnam War Memorial in Washington, D.C. It's riveting. It is a surprising story. You can't help but read it and say to yourself, there were so many opportunities for the story to go differently. Perhaps most remarkable is the section of the book dealing with late 1945, when Ho Chi Minh declared Vietnam's independence, and in the first paragraph of his speech, he said, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal." It's a story that turns out sadly, and it's a story that needs to be properly understood because the lessons will apply today and well into the future. If you don't know why and how America went into Vietnam in the 1960s, you must read Embers of War.
Embers of War, The Fall of an Empire and the Making of America's Vietnam. Bill, we've got about a minute left.
A minute left is all. I'm going to make this one really brief, Joe. The book is called For Adam's Sake. It's written by Allegra Di Bonaventura. She will be at the store Saturday night. In short, it is the finest book about early New England history that I have read in 20-something years. It's a story of New London, Connecticut, from the end of the 1600s into the mid-18th century, based on a diary. It brings not only the character to life, but the whole community. If you can believe that 17th century New England could be something like watching Downton Abbey, or you're hoping that that's the case, read For Adam's Sake.
For Adam's Sake, A Family Saga in Colonial New England. It's a wonderful list. You can find out more information by going to their website, Northshire.com. Northshire.com. You can also go visit them in Manchester, Vermont. Bookseller extraordinaire Bill Lewis, thank you very much for sharing your picks with us. And again, you can find the full list on our website as well, WAMC.org. Bill, thanks very much.
Thank you, Joe.
We'll talk soon. Thank you. Garrison Keillor and the Writer's Almanac are next. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.